We're in chapter 8 this morning of the Gospel of Luke. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke 8. We're going to be dealing with verses 1 through to 15. Let me give some preliminary thoughts. I think in life we've all experienced discouragement or disillusionment. I think every one of us have been party to disappointing circumstances. We've all encountered discouragement or even seasons of discouragement. For some of us, it kind of lasts for a few minutes and then we're able to move on. But for others of us, it could be months even, and it could be lasting. And it's difficult to sometimes pick yourself up out of that. And I think as we think upon what brings discouragement into our hearts and into our lives, it's often, not always, but often, because of false expectations. If you're married here, you can say amen. Because I think it's in the early years of marriage that you realize that false expectations are quite high on the order of disappointments. And in this passage, Jesus is about to prepare his disciples for impending disappointment. So kind of him. So kind of him to share this parable, as we're going to see, it's a parable, and he's preparing us for the realities of gospel ministry. The realities of gospel ministry, as we're going to see, is that only one out of four gospel hearers are going to respond. Only 25% will respond positively. Now, that might come as a surprise, and it did to me when I was considering going into full-time ministry, that I was going to live with three quarters of disappointment when I presented the gospel. But the reality is, if we're prepared and we understand the expectation, we can manage the disappointment. So even though we have the greatest news in the world, the greatest news to tell others, not everyone receives it as great. And that's exactly what Jesus is about to tell his disciples. He's about to send them on a mission. They're about to be commissioned to preach the gospel, and he wants them to have a realistic expectation of what the fruit will be like. So we're going to read the passage, but he speaks to two people in particular. Those who preach the gospel need to take heed. And I trust that all of us in some way or form are sharing the gospel. It might not be from a pulpit, but it could be from your home or from your office or wherever you live your life. But the reality is that we need to be prepared. Those of us who share the gospel, it's not always going to be well received. Be prepared. But secondly, the second group that Jesus warns is not only those who preach the word, but those who hear the word. There is a warning in this text for us who hear the word of God preached. And the warning is how you hear or how you respond to the gospel reveals a lot about your heart. So there's a warning to those who preach the word and a warning to those who hear the word. How you hear the word is crucial. So let's read verse 1 through to 15. Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And at this point, we've already asked the question, you know, Jesus has been doing miracle after miracle, amazing teaching after amazing teaching. And here he goes, he's continuing to preach the good news of the kingdom. And yet so few are becoming disciples. We know that great crowds are following, but the crowds are not disciples. They're merely crowds. Because look at what it says next. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom, and the 12 were with him. Also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, for example, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. And Susanna, not ours, but another one, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Verse 4, and when a great crowd, again a great crowd, was gathering and people from town after town came to him. So you've got disciples and a few women, and then you've got a great crowd. Then it says, he said in a parable, verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and it choked it, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. So Jesus is about to explain the parable. The seed is the word of God. And the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. For they believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for the ones that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in this good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. In your Bible, this parable might be headed the parable of the sower, which is true. There is some sowing, but actually it's the parable of the soil, because the soil is the variable in the story. Very clearly, Jesus tells us that the word of God is the seed, and the seed doesn't change. There's nothing we can do to improve the seed. So we have a dilemma. The dilemma is not everyone's going to receive the word of God with joy and bear fruit. So what do we do? Do we fix the seed? By no means. Do we adjust the seed? Do we add some fertilizer to the seed? No, no, no. There is nothing wrong with the sower, and there's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem in the parable is what? The soil. So more accurately, this is the parable of the soil. Jesus gives us a diagnosis of the situation here, and he's very clear that the problem is that people are rejecting the gospel not because the seed is bad, or there is something wrong with the seed, or even something wrong with the sower. Maybe the sower is not a hipster. Maybe he's just one of those old school guys who preaches in a suit and a tie. And you might think, oh, well, he doesn't have a successful ministry. Wrong. The success of ministry is not dependent on the seed or the sower, but the soil. So the main message of this passage is on how we respond on the soil of our hearts. And at the end of verse 8, Jesus makes this very clear. Have a look again at verse 8. He says, after he said the parable, it says, as he said these things, he called out. Almost in conclusion, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that means it's not enough. Listen carefully. it means that it's not enough just simply to have physical ears on the side of your noggin, right? What's he saying? I mean, it's obvious if you've got ears, you hear, but he's saying that there is another kind of hearing. There's another kind of ear that only some people have. In fact, only 25% of people actually have these ears, spiritual ears, ears to hear, ears to receive the word, to hold it fast and to produce fruit. These ears of the heart, the Bible also uses this language, that the eyes of our understanding. So not only do you have physical eyes, but your understanding of your heart has eyes to see, ears to hear. And when these eyes and ears receive the word, we see it as truth, and it's compelling, and it brings change. But not for all. And then to stress the issue of hearing even more, Jesus tells his disciples why he speaks in parables, because parables can be confusing, can't they? And so he says this in verse 9 and 10. Have a look at this. He says, and when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, here's his explanation. He said, to you, listen carefully, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. So the disciples have been given a divine enablement. Those whom Christ has chosen, those whom Christ has called out, they've been enabled with these ears to hear. But, he says, look at this, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing with the physical eye, they may not see with the spiritual eye. And hearing with the physical ears, they may not understand. Now, what does this mean? Well, firstly, it's a shocking word. It really cuts to the heart of the situation that salvation belongs to the Lord. But actually, what Jesus is doing here, he's quoting Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah chapter 6, to be specific. And in Isaiah, God's word comes to Isaiah, and he tells Isaiah that his ministry to the people of Israel will not only be saving for some, but also hardening for others. So Isaiah, the word of God to Isaiah is, Isaiah, you as the prophet of God, as you preach the word of God, it's going to save some and it's going to harden others. The great Puritan said this. It's a great saying. Remember it. The Puritan said, the same sun, the S-U-N, that melts the ice hardens the clay. The same sun. And this is a picture. And Isaiah was given this word, and Jesus is using those very words from Isaiah 6 to tell us something very important that we all believe, but maybe we don't fully understand. And that is, when the word of God goes out, it will not return void. It always does a job. But we might not like what it's doing, because in some it saves and in others it hardens. And it's in a sense a preliminary judgment of God. John MacArthur explains it this way. He says, for those who did not believe, the parables would only further conceal the truth. Why? Here he says, their spiritual blindness or their deafness was compounded by their own unbelief and then further deepened by divine judgment. This is not an easy word, but it's the word of God. When the word of God goes out, when the seed is sown, it either produces life and it saves, or it brings judgment. And people are hardened. Either it melts the ice and we love Christ, or we scoff at the cross of Christ and it hardens the clay. Now, let's look at this teaching in a little more detail. Let's actually get to the four kinds of soil. And what I want you to notice is that Jesus actually interprets for us the parable. He tells the story and then he interprets. And so that's how we're going to look at it. We're going to look at each soil condition and we look at what Jesus says about the soil, and then he interprets the condition of the soil. The first one is the hard heart, which we see in verse 5 and in verse 12. Verse 5 is the story, verse 12 is the explanation. So let's have a look again at verse 5. He says, the first soil, the seed fell along the path. So here's the story. In an ancient culture, they would have plowed fields, and where they would have plowed the fields, there would have been paths, well-worn paths for the sower to walk as he would scatter the seed. And as he would scatter the seed, it would fall into the plowed fields, but some of the seed would fall along the path that he was walking. And so the path was not turned soil. The path was not prepared soil. In fact, the path was extremely hard, well-worn. So he says some of the seed fell along the path, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Then Jesus interprets verse 12. He says, the ones along the path are those, now he says people, it's people, are those who have heard. Then the devil comes. Now let's just pause there. People, there is a devil. And you know, we live in this modern culture with, you know, the interweb and, you know, all these things and DSTV, and you can pause and play and record, And you hear preachers say, oh, you know, the devil. And we kind of think, oh, you know, is that just some mystical, made-up kind of thing that the church introduced to hold people captive and get money out of people? You know, the devil's going to get you and all sorts of nonsense. No. This isn't my word, right? Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil... Jesus just assumes. He's like, he doesn't need to explain. This is true. He's real, right? He's real. Then the devil comes and takes away the word. Interesting that he's not too far from where the sowing takes place. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, let's not get the wrong impression. The devil doesn't have ultimate say here. All that's happening is that the seed is lying on hard soil. And it cannot penetrate because the soil is so hard. And the fact is it lies there exposed. And if it's not nurtured and received, it's stolen. And he comes quickly, which is why it's very important how we hear and that we actually receive. So this person's heart, the hard heart, his heart is completely closed to the gospel. The gospel lands upon the soil, but the ground is so hard it cannot penetrate. The seed just simply lies in the open, and the devil comes like a bird and he snatches it away. You know, I've often thought, you know, I've chatted to friends and, you know, I've been preaching now for almost 20 years. And it never ceases to amaze me how some people find the preaching of Charles Spurgeon boring. I mean, come on. He's just the ultimate Jedi Knight. I mean, he is Yoda personified. He's ridiculously amazing at preaching. And I have some people that go, man, I just couldn't get through it. It was so boring. And then I remember this parable. And I remember that Satan is waiting, ready to snatch it away. As it lands on that hard heart, he comes. And so that's the first picture. The second one, and I'm assuming that there are not many of us who would be in that first category, but I do know some. Many atheists, for example, many people who are outspoken and aggressive against Christianity, sometimes with reason and sometimes without reason, would, for me, fall into that particular category. But then Jesus goes on and he speaks of another kind of soil, which I've called the superficial heart. Look at verse 6. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, let's not get the wrong impression here, because it would be stupid for a sower to simply sow seed on a rock, right? I mean, how can he expect it to grow? But that's not the picture here. The picture is that he's sowing the seed, and he's unaware that the soil is actually a very shallow layer of soil. And that underneath, there are certain sections of this vast expanse of field where there is bedrock. And so he gets a crop in one part, but he doesn't get a crop in another part. And then he scrapes the soil back and he realizes that there's rock underneath. So that's the picture. So here's what he says. Jesus interprets verse 13. He says, "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy." So there is a layer of soil and they receive it with joy. "But these," he says, "have no root. They believe for a while and in a time of testing fall away." You see, this person is willing to hear the word of God and may even get caught up in the initial emotion of the moment. But the soil of his heart is shallow, because beneath the surface is a firm layer of rock. And at first the seed is received, and they may even participate in church life and, you know, be part of the church community, but the heart is superficial. And it's revealed, Jesus tells us. It's revealed when? When testing comes. And testing comes to all. It comes to the field. The storms of life come. And it reveals that there is no root. There is no ability for the root to take place, because there is a bedrock of unbelief. And so when trials and testings come, Jesus says, they fall away. Now this reminded me, as I was studying this, you know, I've been in youth ministry for the first 10 years of my ministry, and one of the goals was to get young people to cross the line of faith as quickly as possible before they destroy their lives. And I have a different view on that now. I still am passionate for young people to cross the line of faith, but maybe not as quickly as what we want them to. Because I think this is what happens. They receive it with joy, because it's cool and it's hip and you can get free coffee afterwards and there's a nice band. So where's the soil? And what is the soil? And what's, is the seed actually landing in a fertile heart? Or is it just simply this? Jesus says they received it with joy, but there was no root. George Whitefield, one of the great preachers of the Puritan era, he preached to massive crowds. Huge swathes of people would come and listen to him preaching. And many people were greatly affected by his preaching. And once he was asked this very pointed question. Someone said to him, "George, how many people were saved under your ministry?" And he would answer, "We'll see in a few years." He didn't keep a record. Because God knows whose are his. We'll see in a few years. The superficial heart is almost the opposite of the hard heart. The superficial heart receives the word, whereas the hard heart just simply rejects the word. The superficial heart accepts it, even with tears and joy, but then walks out the door and lives like a pagan. Thirdly, Jesus says next, the divided heart. Verse 7, some fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and with it, with the seed, the thorns grew up and choked it. You and I both know, if you've done any gardening, which I hate while she's laughing, she being my beautiful wife, that you pull up a thorn and another one grows in its place, right? Somehow they just never go. Until the kingdom come, we will have thorns and thistles. But Jesus explains, look at what, this is a very powerful explanation, verse 14. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Jesus is saying they have a divided heart. Yes, they receive the word, but they have two masters. They want to have Jesus over here, and they want to have status, power, and wealth over here. They have a divided heart, and a divided heart will fall. Because there's no room, actually. Notice carefully the subtlety implied in this imagery. It's not like the seed is sown and the weeds just go. No, no, it's over time. It's slowly but surely that the weeds grow and the thorns begin to choke out the life of God, and the word of God is drained from your heart and you fall. Eventually, a divided heart will be a destroyed heart. Let us be warned of accepting a Christian culture without Christ as Lord of all. Then finally, the fruitful heart. Verse 8, Jesus says, some fell into good soil and grew and yielded it 100-fold. So not only is this maybe the initial phase of your salvation, because the 100-fold tells us that this took some time. And so it applies to even us sitting here this morning. You might have given your life to Jesus years ago, it might have been last week, but this applies to every moment we hear the word of God. Every time we hear the word of God, Jesus interprets, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast. Because there are going to be trials, and there are going to be storms, and there are going to be riches, and there's going to be poverty. Hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This person receives the gospel, repents of sin, trusts in Christ, and obeys Him. And we put that on repeat. Not just once off. We put that on repeat. Receives the word, repents of sin, trusts in Christ, obeys Christ. Next day, receive the word, repent of sin, trust in Christ, obey Him. On repeat. Amen? That's what it looks like to be a Christian. Now, let's not leave this important text just there, because there is only one of four that is doing this. That is receiving the word, repenting of sin, trusting in Christ and following Him. And did you notice that in verse, let me go back to it because this has just come to mind. In verse, where are you? There it is. Verse 12, the result of the devil, the ones along the path of those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. And here's the shocking result. So that they may not believe and what? And be saved. Let him who has ears to hear, hear and be saved. This is no light matter. And so the final question I'm asking us, guys, is which soil is us? Which soil represents our hearts? Do you have an open heart that is ready and willing to receive the word, repent of sin, trust in Christ, and follow him? Because the stakes are very high. Very high. Because Jesus says, the one who does receive will be saved. And so let's ask God for it. Let's ask God to give us that fourth heart. If our hearts are hard, let's ask him to melt them. If our hearts are superficial, let's ask him to take us deeper. If our hearts are divided, let's ask him to make them single-minded so that we might be fruitful and bear fruit unto eternal life with him. Let's pray. Music team. Let's ask him, church. Heavenly Father, we desperately this morning want to be the good soil. Lord, as we look into our hearts, we see so much other stuff. Some of us, our hearts have been hardened through disappointment and disillusionment and even hurt. Some of it justified hurt. But we pray, we call out to you, God, this morning. Won't you soften the hard heart? We pray also, Lord, for some of us who have in the past received your word with joy, but walked out the door and just lived how we want to live. The superficial heart cannot make it. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, won't you take these superficial hearts of ours and take them deeper and remove the layers that stop your word from taking root and producing fruit. And then, Lord, all of us, we experience in times a divided heart. And so, Lord, we call on you now. We cry out to you, Father, to help us to be single-minded in our hearts, that we wouldn't be double-minded, have double standards. We hear the echo of the words of Jesus. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one or love the other. And so, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to rid ourselves of a divided heart. We want to have that fruitful heart, Lord, that receives your word, repents of sin, trusts in Christ and obeys him. We pray for this now, Lord. We desperately cry out to you, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that is soft and willing to receive and to follow and obey you. The stakes are high. Salvation is the issue. May we not take this lightly, Lord. So search our hearts. Create in me a clean heart, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.